Greetings to the Journey Through the Word of Yahweh. This is lesson number 22, and we'll begin our lesson by introducing it as Judgment and the Three Witnesses. We've talked about before, there are no atheists and there's no agnostics, and judgment is based upon this. If somebody could actually believe that there's no creator, then there's no way somebody legitimately could be judged. Man was not in a cave, so we've got to relearn many things what we've been taught from our school, our propaganda. Man was not in a cave, was not a caveman, but he was made in the image of Elohim. So we think of man coming out, discovering fire, discovering the wheel, etc., etc., which is all hogwash. Yahweh made Adam and Eve in his image and in his likeness. He had to hardwire them, which means he gave them all the knowledge that they needed in order to survive and prosper. So they were perfect in their original creation, and they lived for over 900 years. I assume Eve lived to be over 900 years also. They obviously taught people for 900 years. God gave them information on fire, how to make fire, obviously, how to make metal, on reproducing, what foods to eat, what foods not to eat, so everything else that they would need, just like he does all the animals. All the animals are hardwired, whether a geese on flying south for the winter or any other kind of animal are hardwired. They have to have the information, otherwise they could not survive. So obviously Adam and Eve were the same way. Our destiny is to be judged. And really the whole word of Yahweh is concerning judgment, whether the person is going to receive good or bad judgment. We're going to see this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, which I'll go ahead and read. Excuse me. For this they willfully forgot that there were heavens from of old, and an earth on account of water, and by means of water, compacted by Yahweh's word, by which means the world that then was, with water being flooded, perished. While the heavens and the earth that now are, by the same word, have been stored with fire, being kept unto the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly man. So we know from our other studies that Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, that was the world that then was, and it was destroyed, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So that world that we're not aware of, that's all we know about it, was destroyed. And many of the fossil evidence that we have today told us quite a bit about it. Now the world that we live in is going to be also judged, as that world was judged, and it's going to be judged by fire. And so if we go into verse 12 and 13 of the same chapter, expecting and hastening the presence of the day of Yahweh, by reason of which heavens being on fire will be dissolved, and elements becoming intensely hot are to be melted. But new heaven and a new earth according to his promises are we expecting, wherein righteousness is to dwell. So there are three heavens and earths, as we know, and all these come about as a judgment. Obviously, the last one, the judgment is that we all receive our rewards and there is no more death, because death and Sheol have been thrown into the lake of fire. There are no more people who are going to deny and fight Yahweh. By this particular time, everybody who's there wants to be there. So, in order to be judged for rewards or penalties, a person must be mentally competent to be judged for the way they live their lives. In order to be judged, a person must be mentally competent. The definition of mental capacity is sufficient understanding and memory to comprehend in a general way the situation in which one finds oneself and the nature, purpose, and consequence of any act or transaction into which one proposes to enter. So anybody who is of age is mentally competent. They will be judged, in which we will be judged also. So we can see just through the records, there was a period of time when there was no Mosaic law. Adam and Eve could not have been judged unless they were instructed, and they were instructed not to eat of the tree of good and knowledge. and they had disobeyed and were judged. Cain was judged, and he did not, there was no written commandment, do not kill your, murder your brother, but obviously he knew, because he was hardwired to know that what he did was wickedness. Noah's generations, also before Mosaic law, they were all judged for their wickedness by the flood. Sodom was judged, and did anybody tell them homosexuality or sodomy was wrong? There's no need to, because all civilizations, and we are all hardwired to know that it is wickedness. And that's in 2 Peter 2:6 and Jude 1:7 on Sodom. Nineveh, we'll take a look at in Jonah chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. These were not Hebrews. And so they did not have Mosaic law. And nobody at that time particularly did. And actually, they were just regular unbelievers. So let's just look, and here's what their judgment came about, and how they were internally, they had an internal witness, which we're going to talk about, that what they were doing was wicked. So in Jonah chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, it says, "So Jonah arose and went his way unto Nineveh, according to the word of Yahweh, Nineveh being a city great before Elohim of 3 days' journey. So Jonah began to enter into the city 1 day's journey, and he cried out and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh is to be overthrown." So there's the proclamation. Now, why should they believe him? But they did. And so we look at verse 8 and 9. "And the king was saying, let both man and beast cover themselves with sackcloth, and let them cry unto Elohim mightily. Yea, let them turn every man from his wicked way and from the violence which is in their hands." And so obviously they knew they were walking in wicked ways and violence. So that was automatically a hard warning also. Now we go to Jude chapter 1, and we're going to look at judgment. If somebody says they're an atheist or agnostic, all they're saying is they refuse to bow to Yahweh, very simply. And they will be judged for not bowing to Yahweh, because there are no such thing. He's given us all the information, which we're going to talk about, which are the witnesses, the three witnesses. But Jude chapter 1, verse 3 to 16, we'll talk about all sorts of judgments. "Beloved, though I was using all diligence to be writing unto you concerning our common salvation, yet have I had necessity to write at once unto you, exhorting you to be earnestly contending for the faith, once for all delivered unto the saints. For there have crept in unobserved certain men who, from of old, have been publicly notified for this sentence. Ungodly men, the favor of our Elohim, turning into wantonness, and our only Master and Lord, Yahushua Mashiach, denying. I am minded, therefore, to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, when a people out of Egypt he had saved, in the next place, them that believed not, destroyed." So that's a judgment. "Messengers also, even them who had not kept their own principality, but had forsaken their proper dwelling, unto the judgment of the great day in perpetual bonds, under thick gloom, hath he reserved." Well, they've been judged. "As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them," so there's more than just Sodom and Gomorrah, "but the cities around them, having in like manner to these given themselves over to fornication and gone away after other kinds of flesh, lie exposed as an example, a penalty of age-abiding fire undergoing." Was there any warning to them? No, there was no warning. But they knew what they were doing was wicked, because they are hardwired to know that information, and Yahweh judged them, and they burned up. Continuing on, "In like manner," verse 8, "nevertheless, even these, in their dreaming, flesh indeed defiled, while lordship they set aside, and dignities they defamed. Whereas Michael, the chief messenger, when with the adversary disputing, he was reasoning about the body of Moses, does not impose on him a deflammatory sentence, but saith, the Lord rebuke thee. But these, whatsoever things indeed they know not, they defame. But whatsoever things naturally, like the irrational creatures, they well understand. By these are they bringing themselves to ruin. Alas for them, because in the way of Cain have they gone, and in the error of Balaam wage have they run riot, and in the gainsaying of Korath have they perished. These are they who in your love feast are hidden rocks, as they fare sumptuously together, fearlessly themselves shepherding, clouds without water, by wind swept along, trees animal, fruitless, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of sea foaming out their own infamies, wandering stars from whom the gloom of darkness, age abiding, has been reserved. So we see that judgment was done to all these particular generations. Now we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, and it'll give us another fact. And we must be able to communicate this to other generations. With the school systems of what man, so-called science, which is actually science fiction, say that about man and so forth, then no, it's all a facade. Every man knows there's a day of judgment. Every man knows there's a creator. And every man knows to love their neighbor as themselves. It's already been imprinted upon them. As we'll see in 1 Thessalonians chapter, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. If, at least it is a righteous thing with Yahweh to recompense affliction unto them that afflict you, and unto you that are afflicted, release with us, by the revealing of the Lord Yahushua from heaven, with his messengers of power, in a fiery flame, holding forth vengeance. And who did he hold vengeance against? Against them that refuse to know God, or Yahweh. Second part, and to them who decline to hearken unto the glad message of our Lord Yahushua, who indeed a penalty shall pay, as Sodom and Gomorrah did, age abiding destruction from the face of Yahweh and from the glory of his might. So we see that there was two things that people refused to do. They refused to know Yahweh, and decline to hearken unto the glad message of the Lord Yahushua. That's why they were judged, and they will be, and all people will be judged. So we are hardwired with two witnesses. A witness is a person who has firsthand knowledge of an event, or one who can testify on the basis of a report which he has heard. Such a person is obligation to testify. The law of Moses, especially for the death penalty, required the testimony of at least two witnesses to establish guilt. And that's significant, because we're also going to have two witnesses that if they reject those witnesses, they also will be put to death. A witness can also be something other than a person. A witness could be a footprint on the moon. By looking at that footprint, you know somebody's been there. It can be a flower, insect, etc. Mankind, unlike a cow, has the ability to perceive, to apprehend with the minor senses, to understand. So the first witness that every man has, unbelievers, but all mankind, is that there is a creator. They don't know his name, but they know there is a creator. And we're going to begin in Psalms 19, verse 1 through 6. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 6. And this is the first witness. The heavens are telling the glory of El, and the work of his hands, the expanse is declaring. Day unto day doth pour forth speech, and night unto night doth breathe out knowledge. There is no speech, and there are no words, unheard is their voice. Yet, through all the earth have gone forth their voice, and to the end of the world their sayings. For the sun hath he set up a tent therein, and he is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. He rejoices as a hero to run a race. from one end of the heavens is his going forth, and his circuit to the other end thereof, and nothing is hid from his glowing heat. And what we have to realize is Yahweh says there's no speech and there are no words unheard, and heard is their voice. So all their voice, which is all these testimonies to our Creator, are throughout all creation. We're going to see that also in reiterating Romans chapter 1, which most of you are familiar with. And this is where you can also show people emphatically that there are no atheists or agnostics. There's just those who refuse to bow to the Creator. Romans 1 verse 18 through 25, it spells it all out. For there is being revealed an anger of Yahweh from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who the truth and unrighteousness do hold down, inasmuch as what may be known of Yahweh is manifest among them. For Yahweh unto them hath made it manifest. For the unseen things of him from a world's creation by the things made being perceived are clearly seen, even his eternal power and divinity, to the end they should be without excuse. So all mankind, whether the Bible has ever been presented to you, makes no difference. All of them know there's a Creator. Verse 21, inasmuch as having come to know Yahweh, not as Yahweh did they glorify him or give him thanks, but were made fruitless in their reasonings, and darkened were their undiscerning heart. Professing to be wise, they were made foolish, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible Yahweh for the likeness of the image of a corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and reptiles. Wherefore Yahweh gave them up in the coveting of their hearts unto impurity, so as to be dishonoring their bodies among them, who indeed exchanged away the truth of Yahweh for the falsehood, and rendered worship and service unto the creature rather than unto the Creator, who is blessed unto the ages. Amen. And obviously that's exactly what Darwinism, and with the sciences, the science fiction today, where they have removed Yahweh and they bow down to the creation, which is basically themselves. So we know the first witness is that every human being has an internal awareness by looking around them, perceiving that there's a Creator who created everything that we everything that we see, hear, and feel. Now the second witness is internal also. Now this is the whole concept of loving thy neighbor. It's imprinted in every man, woman, and child. And so they will be judged by that information. It is written in their hearts. We're going to know that Cain, which obviously Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, there is no written law against murder, but he's going to be judged for murder. And so we see in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8 through 13, and Cain said unto Abel his brother, let us go into the field. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Then said Yahweh unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And if Cain had no knowledge that murder was wrong, there was no reason to lie, which obviously he does lie. And he said, I know not, the keeper of my brother am I? Well, he knew he was. He knew that Abel was murdered by him. And Yahweh said, what hast thou done? With a voice. Here, we're going to keep seeing these voices. The stars are a voice that speak to us. And now we're going to see of the ground, there's a voice coming from the ground. With a voice, the shed blood of thy brother is crying out to me from the ground. Now therefore, accursed art thou from the ground, which hath opened her mouth to receive the shed blood of thy brother at thy hand. Though thou till the ground, it shall not go on to give its vigor to thee. A wanderer and a fugitive shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto Yahweh, you never told me that I could murder. No. He said, greater is my punishment than I can bear. So Cain knew internally that you cannot murder. Now this is also portrayed in Romans chapter 2 verse 14 through 16. These are things we must drill in our heads and our children's head. And so in our schools, and everybody says what is right and what is wrong, right now they're trying to make sodomy legalized, and nobody has to tell us that sodomy is wicked. And so Romans 2, verse 14, this is very important. So the three witnesses are very evident. And actually, we're going to see four witnesses, but three witnesses are completely evident in the book of Romans. So in chapter 2, this is the second witness, but chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. For whensoever the nations, which are the unbelievers, which have not law, no Mosaic law, by nature the things of the law may be doing, the same, not having law unto themselves are law. So here's people who are doing what is written in the law. Well, how do they decide to do that? Because it's internally imprinted. Who indeed show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience therewith bearing witness, and between one another their reasoning, accusing, or even excusing them. So we see right now the nations... what we can do is called natural law. Anything to do with love thy neighbor as thyself. Anything associated with that. Now, they cannot do the Mosaic law, where you're talking about the Levitical sacrifices or observing the Sabbath or other laws that they know nothing of. And internally, it's not going to require that also. Now, we look at verse 26 to 27. If then the uncircumcision be guarding the righteous requirements of the law, shall not his uncircumcision as circumcision be reckoned? And the uncircumcision by nature completing a law shall judge thee who, notwithstanding letter and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law. So it shows you very evidently that the unbeliever, the person who was a non-Hebrew, who knew nothing about the Mosaic law, could be doing the law which is imprinted in their heart. We're going to see also, and now we're going to get into the third witness, but the third witness is the written word of Yahweh. So the written word of Yahweh gives us a full detail of who Yahweh is, which we knew there was a God. We just didn't know the creator. We didn't know what his name was and what he required of us in full. We knew he required us internally to love thy neighbor as thyself, because nobody would want anybody to do something to themselves that they would not want other people to do. I think I said that right. You don't want evil to come upon you, so don't do evil upon somebody else. Now, the written word of Yahweh was not available to all mankind, so we realize that the written word of Yahweh is probably billions and billions of people throughout time have never been exposed to the Bible or the Old Testament or the New Testament or the Word of Yahweh. And we know all the people before Moses ever wrote it. There's no existence on that. But we know that these people will be judged, and that's Romans 2, verse 12 through 13. And it says here, for as many as without law, the people who had never received the law, sinned, without law also shall perish. They will not be judged according to the law. Because they can't, because they didn't know the requirements. And as many as within law sinned, which would be us, through the law shall be judged. And so we have a law. We know what the law says. And so if the law tells us to give a tithe, which it did in the Old Testament, then we're required to do so. The unbeliever who did not have the word of Yahweh has no knowledge that he's supposed to give a tithe or help people out in money financially. And so they could not be righteously judged for disobeying that law, a law that they knew nothing about. So we have three witnesses. We have the heavens telling the glory of Yahweh, all of creation. We have an internal witness also that says, do good instead of wickedness. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The third witness is the whole word of Yahweh. And this is a good illustration. We're going to kind of deviate here, and it's called the three voices. that were to Israel and to Pharaoh. So these are good illustration of three witnesses and three voices that Moses exposed. And we're going to go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. Then responded Moses unto Yahweh and said, "And lo, they will not believe me, neither hearken to my voice, for they will say, Yahweh hath not appeared unto thee. Then Yahweh said unto him, What is this in thy hand? And he said, A staff. Then said he, Cast it to the earth. And he cast it to the earth, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from the face thereof. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. So he put forth his hand, and laid hold of it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that Yahweh, Elohim of their fathers, Elohim of Abraham, Elohim of Isaac, and Elohim of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Then said Yahweh unto him yet again, Bring, I pray thee, thy hand into thy bosom. So he brought his hand into his bosom, and he took it out, and lo, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, Put back thy hand into thy bosom. So he put back his hand into his bosom, and then took it out of his bosom, and lo, it had come again like his own flesh. Thus shall it come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign." And here, all the other Bible is going to say the word sign, but the Hebrew word is not sign, it's voice. So reading verse 8 again. "Thus shall it come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign." So the first sign, the serpent, and the rod turning into a serpent, was a voice speaking to people, which is a witness. "Then they will believe the voice of the next sign, which was putting his hand inside his robe and coming out leprous." That was another speaking, a testimony that he was from Yahweh. "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe even these two signs, nor hearken to thy voice, then shalt thou take the water of the river and pour it on the dry land, so shall the water which thou hast taken from the river become, yea, it shall become blood on the dry land." So those are the three voices, the three testimonies that Yahweh has sent him. Now, the people he sent to, the Hebrews and to Pharaoh, are going to receive it differently. We are notified in Exodus 3:19 that Pharaoh will stiffen his neck. But let's see what the Hebrews did. In chapter 5, verse 2, well, this is what Pharaoh... let me see here. Oh, yeah, let's go to... it's in chapter 4, verse 30 to 31. Here's the people. "And Aaron spake all the words which Yahweh had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs before the eyes of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that Yahweh had concerned himself for the sons of Israel, and that he had looked upon their humiliation, then bent they their heads and bowed themselves down." So the Hebrews received the testimonies of the three voices that Moses showed them. And what did they do? They humbled themselves to Moses, no, but to Yahweh. They bowed down to Yahweh. Well, as we know, Pharaoh did just the opposite. And so in chapter 5, verse 2 of Exodus, "Then said Pharaoh, Who is Yahweh that I should hearken to his voice to let Israel go? I know not Yahweh, and certainly Israel will I not let go." So here is the rebellion. In chapter 8, verse 19 of Exodus, we're going to see another response of Pharaoh. Then said the sacred scribes unto Pharaoh, "The finger of Elohim it is, but the heart of Pharaoh waxed bold, and he hearkened not unto them as spake Yahweh." As we know, they were judged righteously and destroyed. Just like all mankind is going to be judged righteously. They'll be judged for either the good or the wickedness. Now, those are three voices in reflection of the three witnesses. Now, we're going to look at one other witness, which is very... it's only to us in this particular age. It's not in the age before us. which was the Old Testament, which was Yahushua before the age of the sacred secret, which, in my first class, we talked about 10 different ages. That would be the seventh age. We're in a very special time frame where we receive Holy Ruach. Other ages do not have that privilege. Only kings and prophets and some priests would have Holy Ruach upon them, but it would not be in them. While in our particular age, all of us have the opportunity to have Ruach. This is our fourth witness, but it's only for our age. One thing we have to realize is we are going to be judged more severely than the person who has never received the word of Yahweh. We're going to be received more severely than the person who never received spirit, the believers who came before us. Which is fine, because we can have more rewards also from what we received. And so the people before us, the people before the Mosaic Law could not be judged according to the Mosaic Law. They could be judged according to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so once they receive the Mosaic Law, they're going to be more accountable. We also have received the Mosaic Law and all the New Testament with the instructions, and we're accountable to obey those instructions to the best of our abilities. And when we refuse to or reject to obey, we need to ask for forgiveness, and we'll be forgiven. Now, those who have the Holy Ruach, we have an additional accountability. Most people never had that, so we need to take that. Our job is to take the written word and meditate and read it. So Yahweh is going to talk to a lot of people who had the word in their home or in their country and never read it. So they're accountable because it was available. So anybody who has heard of Jesus Christ or the Bible is accountable, if it's available, to read about it. If they refuse to read about it, they will be judged accordingly. So all Jews have heard about Jesus Christ. So if they refuse to read the New Testament, then they will be judged accordingly that they rejected Christ. Now somebody who is on an island, who has never heard of Yahushua Mashiach, they've never heard of the Bible, there's no way they could be righteously judged for not knowing things. They're going to be judged according to their works, because they have no other way, no other information. So if they love their neighbor as themselves, if they bow down to the Creator, who they don't know His name is, they will be judged accordingly. We got to realize the Ruach of Yahweh, or Spirit, remember Spirit is Ruach in Hebrew, guides us. Not only are we supposed to obey the written word, but we're supposed to obey the leading of the Ruach. Our rewards will be great because we're in a capacity where we can produce much fruit, more fruit than anybody could in the past. But if we sit on our hands, if we sit on that Ruach and not exercise it, if we sit on the Bible and not read it and do it, then obviously we'll be held accountable for that. But we know the Ruach was given on the day of Pentecost to the Hebrews at that time in Acts 2:38, and it says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent ye, and let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yahushua Mashiach into the remission of your sins. And what will happen? And ye shall receive the free gift of the Holy Ruach." That was the day of Pentecost. Well, we know that same thing happened in Acts 10, which is the beginning of the church, or our particular age, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile. That's where we came along in Acts chapter 10. The same thing, same outpouring was done. We know with Ruach, it's going to be a witness, as we have talked about in John 14:26. It's going to testify not to get us to believe in the Creator, because we already know there's a Creator, like everybody else does. It's not going to get us to believe to love thy neighbor as thyself, because we already know that, and it's also written in the written word. So what additional information are we going to be judged on how we used it? It's going to be information every day that we can activate information that is not written in the word of Yahweh that will impact our lives and where we can serve our master through the greatest ability. So it's, think of the Ruach as a cell phone. So Yahweh in Christ can call us and give us instructions each and every day and moment, and we are obligated to obey those instructions. And that's in John chapter 14. That gives you a little hint of the Ruach. In verse 26, it says, "But the Advocate, or the Paraclete, the Holy Ruach, which the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will put you in mind of all things which I told you." So we're going to be receiving information as we do Ruach. We're also seeing in chapter 16, 13 through 14 of John. See here, and it says, "Howbeit, as soon as he hath come, the Ruach of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak from himself, but whensoever he heareth, he will speak. Then the coming things will he announce unto you. He shall glorify me, not of mine shall he receive, and announce unto you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are my own, therefore said I, of mine shall he receive, and announce unto you." So, we see what the Ruach's going to do, and it's going to be our witness to serve Yahweh in the fullest capacity possible. We're going to see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 18. 8 verses 9 through 18. "But ye have not your being in flesh, but in Ruach, if at least Yahweh's Ruach dwelleth in you. And if anyone hath not Christ's Ruach, the same is not his. But if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead by reason of sin, whereas the Ruach is life by reason of righteousness. If moreover the Ruach of him that awoke Yahushua from among the dead dwelleth in you, he that awoke from among the dead, Christ Yahushua, shall make alive your death-doomed bodies through means of his indwelling Ruach within you. Hence then, brethren, debtors we are, not unto the flesh, that according to the flesh we should live. For if according to the flesh you live, you are about to die. Whereas, if in Ruach the practice of the flesh you are putting to death, you shall attain unto life. For as many as by Yahweh's Ruach are being led, the same are Yahweh's sons." So you see the leading from the Ruach. "For ye have not received a Ruach of servitude, leading back into fear, but ye have received a Ruach of sonship, where we exclaim, Abba, O Father. The Ruach itself beareth witness together with our Ruach that we are children of Yahweh. And if children, heirs also, heirs indeed of Yahweh, but co-heirs with Christ, if at least we are suffering together, in order that we may also be glorified together." So that's our blessing of getting to receive Holy Ruach, to be led by Yahweh, and to exercise this particular Ruach and use it as they want us to. We will be judged righteously for how we use it and if we don't use it, if we elect not to. We're going to see that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. First and foremost, it says, "But unto each one is given the manifesting of the Ruach with a view to that which is profitable." So we are supposed to manifest as Ruach because it is profitable. We see in 1 Corinthians 14, which we've discussed many times, how many people have refused to do 1 Corinthians 14. They've just tore it out of their Bible. And we'll see here at 1 through 5, these are not suggestions. "Pursue love. Nevertheless, be envious of the spiritual, and rather that you may be prophesied." So what are we told to do? Pursue love and prophesy. "For he that speaketh with a tongue, not unto men doth speak, but unto Yahweh. For no one understandeth, although in Ruach he is speaking sacred secrets. But he that prophesieth, unto men doth speak edification and exhortation and comfort." Does Yahweh want men to be edified, exhorted, and comforted? Absolutely. And that's why he gave us the Ruach in order to do that. So people who refuse to prophesy are refusing to edify exhort and comfort that the prophecy will bring. He that speaketh with a tongue, verse 4, he that speaketh with a tongue buildeth up himself, whereas he that prophesieth buildeth up an assembly. Howbeit, I wish you all to speak with tongues. So what is the will of Yahweh? And we all speak in tongues. But rather that you may prophesy, moreover greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, unless indeed he interpret, that translate, that the assembly may receive upbuilding. So we get to see that is the purpose of our other witness, is that we have ruach to build up the body of the Christ. We have nine manifestations, which we've seen, and we have nine fruits. So that is our fourth witness, but it's only for us and for this time period, because after we're gone, after Christ comes back, it will no longer be available. In this particular age, we have many pastors and teachers who are stating that good works are not important, which is so obviously wrong and false doctrines when it comes about. Yahweh wants, he's a righteous judge, and he wants righteousness to issue from us. It's very important that we do good works, because we're still talking about judgment. So we have the witnesses that we have. Yahweh's the creator according to the heavens and everything, all our creation around us. We have the internal witness that love thy neighbor as thyself. We're going to obey that. We have the external witness of the written word of Yahweh that tells us exactly what Yahweh wants us to do. And he's going to ask us, you know, when we're being judged, well, we'll know, how'd you do on that? How much did you read? How much did you practice? How much did you implement? We'll have to give accountability for that. And obviously the fourth is the witness of Ruach, which we also be accountable. How did you, you know, how did you implement and do that witness? Well, we're going to say, well, a pastor told me I couldn't do it. How do you think that's going to fly when his written word says just the opposite? But we're going to look at judgment. Now, many people have to understand that, you know, people right now say, you know, the only way a person can be saved is through Yahushua Mashiach. Well, we got a problem here, because there's many people on in countries that have never heard of Yahushua Mashiach. They've never heard of the Bible. They cannot officially be judged according to that if they've never heard righteously. So to my best understanding, what's going to be is they'll be judged according to their works, which we're going to see. So if a person's on an island in some country or a hemisphere that we know nothing about, there's no way they could be held accountable for making Yahushua their Lord when they don't even know who Yahushua is. And we talked about before, I believe all the children who died, or people who retarded, or something was wrong with them mentally where they could never make a decision, they will be, I believe, now this is my personal opinion, I believe that they will be brought back onto the Christ's thousand-year millennial kingdom. And they will grow up and then be able to make a choice for themselves. This is the perfect place, in my opinion, to bring all the children who died before they are of age and so forth to come to that particular time frame and then make that decision, which is no fault of their own. But we're going to start talking about judgment. And so we start with Malachi 3, verse 5. Therefore will I draw near unto you for judgment, and will become a swift witness against the murmur of the mutterings of incantations, and against the adulterers, and against them that swear to a falsehood, and against them who robbed the hire of the hireling, the widows and the fatherless, that they drive away the sojourner, and do not revere me, saith Yahweh of hosts. It's very simple. People are going to be judged. Now we can say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's correct. And in the millennial kingdom, which is a thousand-year kingdom where Christ is going to be raised, reigning, which, you know, obviously begins in chapter 20 of Revelation, we're going to see, we'll go into Zechariah chapter 14. And let's see here. In verse 16, And it shall come to pass that as for every one that is left out of all the nations that came against Jerusalem, these are the people who are living during the days of Armageddon and did not die, who were not Hebrews, that they shall come up from year to year to bow down to the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to celebrate the festival of booths. So as we see, the emphasis is everybody is going to bow down to Yahweh, the host. And this is where they were told to come up to Jerusalem once a year during the festival of booths, and they will bow down. If they do not do this during that thousand-year reign, it shall come to pass, whosoever shall not come up out of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to bow down to the King, Yahweh of hosts, there shall not on them be any rain. So they will be smited. And so you can keep reading Zechariah 14 to give you more information. But we know that most people, we're just so confused. We automatically have people dying and going to heaven. That's the end project. And no, it's not. It's not at all. People are asleep, as we know. They're waiting for the trumpet for those who are going to be in a parousia of the Lord, the first parousia of the Lord. And then there's going to be the people who are going to come in the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. We know there's going to be a thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. And Christ said in Thessalonians, so shall you ever be with me, after he brings us up in the sky. So we're going to go up into the heavens for a period of time with Christ, and then we'll come back with Armageddon, and then we'll come back and reign on the earth, because the meek will inherit the earth. So we have things so messed up. But we can ask, the word is not messed up, it's people just aren't hearing, listening to the word. The people who have never heard the word will be judged according to their works, to the best of my opinion, which we will see. The people who were before the Mosaic law could not be judged according to the Mosaic law, so they will be judged according to their good works. The people who had the Mosaic law and did it, they will be judged righteously and be rewarded, and those who refused to do it will be judged righteously also for not doing it. We go to Romans chapter 2, verse 5, and we'll start looking at judgment. Yahweh is a righteous judge. So judgment is good if you're righteous, because you want the prize. You know, it's like seeing a policeman. If you're afraid of seeing a policeman, he'll quit doing evil, and you wouldn't be afraid. If you're a criminal, you don't want to see a policeman. But if you're a righteous individual, you want to. So the same way with judgment, it's not a bad word. Judgment is a very good word, because we're going to get our rewards. Just like cashing in your IRA that you've been saving up for, and you're with your king or your Lord, Mashiach Yahushua, and also with Yahweh. So Romans 2, verse 5 through 6, but according to thy hardness and thy impenitent heart, are treasuring up for thyself anger in the day of anger and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yahweh. Verse 6, who will render unto each one according to his works? And so, many teachers have taught that works aren't important. We're not saved by works. Right? But, obviously, works are very important, because it says here in Romans, we're going to read Corinthians, we're going to read Ephesians, we're going to read Colossians, and we're going to read Revelations. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. So it's all the way through the church epistles, which are our books written to us. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we all must need be manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that each one may get back the things done by means of the body, according to the things which he practiced, whether good or bad. And so we're going to get, that's where our rewards. Now, if we've done bad, our objective is to ask for forgiveness. And 1 John 1, 9 says, faithful and just is he that forgive you from all unrighteousness, if we ask for forgiveness. If we do not ask for forgiveness, then we don't have forgiveness. We'll go to Ephesians 6, 9, or 6, 8. Good works. We're going to keep saying about works, works, works. And which is very good, because it should motivate us to work even harder if we're going to get back. 6 verse 8. Knowing that each one, whatsoever he may do that is good, the same shall he receive back from the Lord, whether bond or free. So there is a judgment of receiving good works. Colossians 3, verse 23 through 25. So we have people saying, Yahweh will not love you any more or less whether you do good or bad. And just rubbish like this. You know, it's really frightening of God's unconditional love, which has nothing to do with their word. We do have a paper on that. But it's such dangerous teaching because it's telling people not to do good works, not to produce fruit. Verse 23 to 25 in Colossians chapter 3. Whatsoever you may be doing, from the soul working at it, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord ye shall duly receive the recompense of the inheritance. Unto the Lord Christ are you in service. For he that acteth unrighteously shall get back what he had unrighteously done, and there is no respect of persons. Very simply, they just laid that out right there. How about Revelation 20? And so, we must always, when somebody says works are important, we must go according to the word, the written word. And as we can see, works are very important. In Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. And this is a great white throne judgment. We've already received our reward, but these are people who are going to be raised in the last resurrection of the unjust, and they're going to receive their recompense accordingly. And I saw a great white, and there could be other people who are raised too, who died through the thousand-year reign. And I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth, and heaven and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Sheol gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to their works. Twice it says according to their works, and death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fires. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire. We look at 21 verse 6 through 8. This is the end of the story. Well, really the beginning, because this is the third heaven and third earth, wherein Yahweh is king, and there's no sun or moon, and which it all goes through chapter 21 through 22. And all upon the earth. And there'll be no more death or Sheol. Chapter 21, verse 6 through 8. And he said unto me, and this is Yahweh, not Christ, speaking, accomplished. I am the A and the Z, the beginning and the end. I unto him that is thirsting will give of the fountain of water of life freely. So we see all this is about whether we want to reach our hand forth the tree of life and wait for the coming new earth, or where we're going to get satisfies all of our lust of our flesh in today's society. He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be to him an Elohim, and he shall be unto me a son. But as for the timid and disbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all their false, their part is in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, this is the beginning of the book. Starts off with judgment with Adam and Eve about being cast out of the garden and that they were going to die. And the end of it ends up in judgment with the white throne judgment through Christ. So, good works are very important. If we look at here, we're going to go to Romans 7:4, and it's called fruit. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. So then, my brethren, ye also were made dead unto the law through the body of the Christ, to the end he might become another. He is from among the dead was raised, in order that we might bring forth fruit unto Yahweh. So our orders are to bring forth fruit. Ephesians 2:10. And it states, His, in fact, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Yahushua upon a footing of good works, which Yahweh prepared beforehand, that therein we might walk. We have Colossians 1, verse 10. So good works is why we were given holy ruach, why Christ died for us, so we can produce much fruit. 1:10, so as to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, in every good work bearing fruit, and growing in the personal knowledge of Yahweh. And also we can read John 15, and John 15 talks about the vine and the branches and the husband. And actually, this is before the church epistles, that if you did not produce fruit, you were cut off and thrown into the fire, and you perished. That's what John chapter 15 is all about. Let's look at the parable of the servant. That we are in this situation where we have been given much, and much is expected of us. So we're going to look at chapter 12, verse 41-48. But Peter said, Lord, unto us this parable speaketh thou, or even unto all. And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful steward, the prudent one, whom the Lord will appoint over his body of attendants to be giving in due season the measure and allowance of wheat? Happy that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing thus. So that's our job. Of a truth I say unto you, over all his possessions will he appoint him. Remember, there's going to be a new heaven and new earth with Christ. The 1,000 years will we be in that position as stewards. But if that servant should say in his heart, My Lord delayeth to come, and should begin to be striking the youths and the maidens, and be eating also and drinking and making himself drunk, the Lord of that servant will have come on a day when he is not expecting, in an hour when he is not taking note, and will cut him asunder, and his part with the unfaithful will appoint. And that servant who had come to know the will of his Lord, and that's us, we know the will of our Lord, because we have the written word, we have all four witnesses, and we have Ruach. Verse 47, That servant who hath come to know the will of the Lord, and neither prepared nor wrought unto his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Now I'm not going to say that's going to happen, but we're very accountable. Whereas he who had not come to know and did things worthy of stripes, shall be with fewer stripes. So we know that a person did not have the written word, he's not going to be judged as harshly as we will be judged. And everyone to whom was given much, which we've been given the absolute peak, because we've got all four witnesses, Ruach, the written word, and the other two witnesses, and everyone to whom was given much, much shall be sought from him, and he to whom they committed much, for more than common will they ask him. So, much is given, much is required. So that is us. So we're kind of come to a conclusion. Here's just another illustration. You know, people try to trap us. I heard this, you know, about judgment. And a person says, here's an quote-unquote professed atheist, which is nice. It's somebody who's going to not bow, who's not bowing to Yahweh. He's trying to trick Christians and saying, is God going to send the Jews who died in the Holocaust to hell? And they thought, well, I've got you. You know, this is like, you got a mean God, because not only were they burned up in the furnaces, you're going to burn them up again forever. Well, that has no relationship. The Jews, if they knew about Christ, which they do, you know, in our particular age, in the World War II particular age, they knew about Christianity, and if they refused to bow to Christ and make him their Lord, they were the Antichrist. and they're not going to hell, they're going to perish. John 3:16. Why? Because they refuse, and they still refuse, to bow to Christ. So no problem there. And many times, why they were killed in the Holocaust, many times it could be because they refuse to make Yahushua their Lord, who could have told them ahead of time by receiving the Holy Ruach to get out of town, which would have saved their lives. So this is not a trick question at all. We can say with confidence, all those who will not bow to Yahushua or bow to Yahweh will perish. Very simple. They're not going to be tortured in hell. Hell's not in the word. You know, as we know before, there is no Hebrew word for hell. Sheol is not hell. So this is something that man has made up. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have life, age, abiding. So perishing is the opposite of life, age, abiding. So we'll go ahead and end on that. And what we'll do is we'll go ahead and have a prayer and a prophecy, according to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, Father, we thank you so much for this word, and we thank you, Christ, for paying the price for us, and that you've given us Ruach, poured it out upon us, that we can prophesy, which are words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. So my sons and my daughters, walk forth in the knowledge that I have put upon your heart. Walk forth and exercise the knowledge that I put in your minds and in your heart, in order that you may be well-pleasing in my sight. Do not put aside information that I have instilled in you, but put it on and activate it so you can become fruitful plants that I will harvest over and over and over to get other people to receive the fruit that you yield, and people can come to you because of all the fruit that you yield. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. Through Christ our Lord, see you at the next session.